Aye.
Mayor?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye. Tabled. 2540.
Mr. Chair, my notes on 2540 were that it can be considered in the context of 2974. But I gotta find it.
Yes, we viewed it as another aspect of the diversion program, and ought to be treated as a single bill. And we'll take it up in conjunction with 2974. Chair moves to table 2540. Call the roll, please.
Courtney?
Yes.
Hill?
Aye.
Baumgart?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye. 2809.
My notes indicate that, oh, 2809 in part has to do with the community service.
Mr. Chairman, two things about 2809. I think we broke that down into two parts. One was the provisions with regards to community service aspects of it, which we agreed to take up under the sentencing penalties provisions of Senate Bill 710. And the second issue regarding the mandatory mental health examination upon conviction for individuals who are not going through diversion. The suggestion, my notes indicate, was that while that is not presently in Senate Bill 710, that it might be taken up there. And we flipped back and forth between doing that in this bill or in 710. My notes indicate our final resolution was to take it up in Senate Bill 710.
Well, that's correct.
If we need a separate vehicle, we can always come back to 2809.
And I've asked Mr. Cooper to assist us in preparing proposed amendments to 710, which would draw forth the proposals of the task force that are embodied in the table bill, so we have an organized way of looking at those as amendments. I think I understand. Chair moves to table House Bill 2809. Call the roll, please.
Courtney?
Yes.
Hill?
Aye.
Baumgart?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye. Tabled. Now, 2826, as we indicated previously, has been consent of Representative Markham is being proposed as the vehicle for the new, the last task force bill, which makes certain changes in the implied consent law. The text of that implied consent bill has been distributed.
It's LC 2441, dated 6/1/83.
What, please?
It modifies provisions sure. relating to Just testing under the implied consent law.
Judge, are you able to comment on this bill briefly for us, or is that something?
The LC
2441, the implied consent law bill.
Very briefly, I think enough, Mr. Chairman, to give you some general idea. It's to basically take care of a situation where the party who's been involved in the drinking, either a victim or the driver, has been is unconscious or is unable to give the consent because, as the law now stands, unless you give your consent, they can't take the test. So this is to provide for blood and urine test, basically and generally in the hospital emergency room. And it would do away with the necessity of giving consent.
Mr. Chairman, I've gone over it. If you want me to, I've got some other questions.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Judge, the first changes that I note in the initial part of the bill are to remove from the blood alcohol testing procedures a chemical analysis of urine. Am I correct that status of the testing procedures today is that you can't tell that in your urine samples, and thus it's appropriate to take that out. That was my understanding.
However, I'm a little hazy about this now. It seems to me on controlled substances, urine is a...
That's correct, and the bill leaves it in for controlled substances. The amendments do. Section 3 of the bill expands the coverage or the scope of the locations where one is subject to the implied consent law from not only highways of the state, but also premises open to the public, cover parking lots, things like that. Is that...
That's my understanding.
That's my understanding of that as well. The bill also, or the amendments on page 3, where we are dealing with refusal to submit to a chemical test, we remove the provision that says today that if a person under arrest refuses to submit to the chemical test, we remove the provision under arrest, I gather, to basically to conform to what we are doing now, and that is to not require that an individual be placed under arrest before administering the blood alcohol test. Right.
Placed under arrest, Representative Lombard, then the county, or has to pick up the tab at the hospital. That's the problem.
That's why. Okay. And we do the same thing in amending ORS 487.810 in Section 4 of the bill. We remove the provisions relating to prior arrest. I would add for the committee's benefit also that we leave the urine test in under 487.810 for controlled substances. Next, under Section 5 of the bill, what we're doing is that we're removing the Health Division certification of the chemical analyses, both the operator and the equipment, and leaving that totally in the Department of State Police. I assume that it's Task Force's recommendation that having the Health Division in there in addition to the State Police was unnecessary duplication.
That's correct.
And then basically under Section 8, that is where you make the change that you alluded to with regards to the individual who's taken unconscious or comatose to the hospital would authorize the officer to take a blood sample without consent.
The chair would move that the provisions of LC 2441 be substituted for the text of the printed bill, printed version of House Bill 2826. LC 2441. Is there objection to the amendment 2826? Okay, it's approved. We've had the review of the bill. We have not actually had any real opportunity for any public testimony on the bill because it's just come up. I don't think we have the time to have it printed, engrossed, and re-referred, unfortunately, but we will attempt to give best notice we can that we're now considering a new bill on this. So that people, and we'll make copies available for distribution. All right, 28.
And I've got an extra copy here.
I did.
Carol Brownlow? Yes. Did you want to comment on this? Is Carol Brownlow here? Did you want to comment on this bill now? Yeah.
Oh, diversion. Okay, I'm sorry.
Sorry, I misread the bill then. Okay. We'll get to it in a minute. 2861. This is totally overlapping with the Senate Bill 710 issue. We confirmed that with Representative Hill, and he understands that that is to be addressed in 710. I believe that's true of the total bill, isn't it? I don't think there's anything we broke out to hold on to, is there?
That's correct.
Chair moves to table House Bill 2861. Call the roll, please.
Courtney?
Yes.
Hill?
Aye.
Baumgart?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye. Tabled. 2956. As the chair mentioned, for the reasons noted, the recommendation is to table 2956, and it's so moved. Call the roll, please.
Courtney?
Yes.
Hill?
Yes.
Baumgart?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Springer?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye. Table 2974 is the diversion bill from the task force. This is an area not dealt with by the Senate, and it's one that Representative Lombard and I believe we ought to assume. I'm not sure if we agree. I think we probably ought to assume it's an area we ought not to treat as amendments to the Senate bills.
That's
but
correct.
Send that over to them as a separate area, as a House bill.
Yeah.
Okay, 2974. Carol, do you want to come up now and comment? If you have comments on this bill.
I presented you with some information the other day, and I'm just here to answer any questions that you might have if you've had an opportunity to peruse that material. I give you four attachments, and then when I got back to the office, discovered a typo on attachment one, so I do have a revised attachment one that I'd like to distribute.
Okay. Now, Representative Lombard and I went over the bill section by section with Mr. Cooper. And if my recollection is correct, Representative Lombard and I concluded that we thought, in terms of a recommendation to the subcommittee, that the bill was in appropriate form with one or two specific subject areas we thought ought to be hashed out a bit more. And I believe the most important of which is the first one, line 26, page 3.
I think the only, this is the only issue, I think, Mr. Chair, is under lines 26 through 28, page 3. The issue here, as explained to us by Mr. Cooper, is that when we passed the diversion law in 1981, we provided that an individual would not be entitled to go through the diversion program if the individual was involved in an accident which is required to be reported, reportable accident. Provisions of ORS 483-606 were also amended in 1981 to raise the dollar level up to $400 in the case of property damage or physical injury of any amount. That is a reportable accident. The courts apparently are having difficulty with this reportable accident requirement because they're really not in a position to determine and judge whether it's $400, $399, or $401 on the dollar amount. So the task force has recommended that an individual be denied diversion if there's an accident resulting in physical injury to any individual. However, physical injury is defined in ORS 161.15, which essentially requires more than just a scratch. That is the definition of physical injury for, I believe, assault. Let me just find it here quickly. 61.015. Physical injury means impairment of physical condition or substantial pain. So it would require physical injury regardless of whether or not it applied to the drunk individual, himself or herself, or other parties, but it would have to require more than a simple scratch. Likewise, diversion would be denied under the task force bill if there was any damage to property of any person. Mr. Cooper agreed that this would probably significantly reduce the number of individuals who would be entitled to undergo diversion, as frequently there is property damage, however so slight, to their own vehicles. The policy issue that I raised, and that Representative Myers and I agreed, ought to be brought before the committee, and it was suggested by earlier testimony this afternoon, as to whether or not we might amend that provision to disqualify diversion only in those cases where, one, the physical injury occurred to one other than the drunk, and or whether to disqualify diversion only in those cases where the property damage occurred to property of a person other than the drunk. I think Representative Myers had some reservations about, and I did too, about saying that we would allow an individual to divert if the individual had substantially injured himself or herself in this accident. However, I think we did feel that it might be all right if there was solely property damage. Property damage was solely to the property of the drunk, that would allow that individual to go ahead and go through diversion. But that if there is any damage to property of any other person, diversion would be denied. But that's the policy issue.
To frame it as far as the language, if you would look at line page 3 of 2974, line 28, the modification that Representative Lombard has just described would be affected by striking the comma and the word including and putting in other than. So it would read that, in effect, diversion would be available unless person has been involved in an accident resulting in physical injury as defined in 161.015, death, or any damage to the property of any person other than the defendant. The chair would move that amendment.
I believe that the language you've used would also encompass physical injury, or would still allow diversion if there's physical injury solely to the intoxicated person. Do you want to go that option, or do you want to deny diversion if there is physical injury solely to the intoxicated person?
Well, my amendment was intended to deal only with property damage.
Okay. Well, I
think
that's
a rational distinction. I suppose we ought to. Is there some significant probability that the conduct which causes physical injury, the property damage only, is going to be significantly less dangerous than the conduct which causes physical injury?
Not necessarily.
Or is the absence of physical injury just likely to be perhaps a matter of happenstance? I don't know.
Well, I guess my thought was this, that if you're looking for a rational distinction, I suppose you might look at it from the standpoint that one might cause substantial physical injury to oneself and end up, because of lack of insurance coverage or what have you, a significant burden on society in general. On the other hand, usually when one does damage to one's own property, it does not inconvenience anybody else other than perhaps one's immediate family. If you want to make that distinction, if you're looking for a constitutional...
Well, I think that's one we discussed with Jerry Cooper.
Yeah. And if you want to make that distinction, then I think you need to put on line 27, the resulting in physical injury is defined in ORS 161.015, or death to any person, including the defendant, or resulting in any damage to the property of any person, not including the defendant.
Or other than the defendant.
Rather than the defendant. Other than the defendant.
My motion, okay, I appreciate the clarification. My motion is intended to deal only with damage to property of motion is intended to allow diversion in the case of property damage to the defendant's property only.
Okay.
Discussion? Objection? Okay, it's adopted.
I would add this. The other comment Jerry Cooper did indicate was that with the tightening down of the physical injury definition, that would probably have the effect of opening up diversion to a few more people who might have suffered minor physical injuries, but not such as those defined in 161.015.
Right. Okay. Do we have any other amendments, Linda, that your notes indicate on this point?
Well, the two other matters. One was that the committee was going to consider 2540 in the context of this bill.
Yeah.
And also there were...
That's our last item. Is there any amendments in this bill?
There were amendments that were submitted by Shelley Fennell from Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, suggesting that as a condition of applying for a diversion, the defendant would have to waive the right to trial and enter a plea of guilty.
Right. We talked about that with Mr. Cooper. And I think we all shared some very real concerns about the constitutionality of that kind of an arrangement. And I think Mr. Cooper has had that concern also shared with him by persons in and out of the judiciary. And it was for that reason that Representative Lombard and I agreed, and we agreed that we would not recommend that change to the committee.
In addition, I would add, Mr. Chair, that we're not sure from a record-keeping standpoint. The testimony was to the effect that there were a significant number of people who were not carrying through with diversion and that it was becoming difficult to get a later conviction because of the passage of time. I'm not sure we're far enough along in the diversion program and the handling of the whole system as we enacted 1981 that we feel comfortable in concluding that finally yet.
Anything else in that bill?
I don't have anything.
Otherwise, we thought the bill was in good
shape.
Yes, let's
now.
Do that before we adjourn. I apologize to everyone for the lateness of this Friday meeting. I'd like to get this package done. 2540 is Representative Frobisher's proposal dealing with the eligibility for diversion, stay of suspension and admission to diversion of persons who are convicted of driving under the influence of another state, circumstances which would have entitled them to admission to the program in this state.
Chair, I would say for the benefit of the committee, and again, and this was based on our conversations with Mr. Cooper. He personally, individually, could not support the concept of 2540.
his reason for not being willing to do so is that he feels that if somebody is convicted of drunk driving in another state, they simply need to be adjudicated and treated by the provisions of that state since they violated a law in that state, and that they just simply have to stand the consequences of the laws of that state. I would have to say, unless I hear some pretty convincing testimony to the contrary, that would comport pretty much with my ideas, too.
Yeah, the countervailing argument that we talked about briefly was, of course, that in the case of the Oregon resident, that's a person who's living, working here, and who's for whom the benefits of diversion are, the payoff is in relation primarily to Oregon, Oregonians. But I suppose, maybe just kind of philosophically, I'm inclined to agree with the position that Mr. Cooper commented on. For that reason, I would not, for myself, be expecting, be moving to include the provisions of that bill in 2974, but simply to leave it on the table.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think there's another consideration also. We will be taking up the issue of immediate suspension in Senate Bill 710, and I believe that that will also apply, if I'm not mistaken, in diversion cases as well as non-diversion cases. At least in the context of our discussion, we'd probably be discussing it there. And so we may be completely turning around the suspension laws in any event so that there would not be any immediate advantage regarding suspension, whether or not you were caught out of state or in state.
Linda, when are these, when are the bills scheduled for a work session in full committee? Wednesday?
No, I don't think they're scheduled for full committee yet. We only scheduled up till Wednesday because we didn't know how far along we'd get with
what these. What is on Wednesday? Is that juvenile?
Sentencing.
Juvenile Monday?
Juvenile's Monday.
Okay.
And some motor vehicle things.
I would prefer, in order to expedite the consideration of the package, to move out to the full committee, either without recommendation where it's appropriate or with recommendation, the elements of the package, and conclude the process of any public comment and final action in the full committee. So we don't bring this package back in the subcommittee again. We have the elements identified. There are some aspects of it that we'll need to finally resolve, but I just assume set it next for full committee hearing and work session. No, I'm going to make my motion right now. First, I'm going to move that House Bill 2420, which will primarily center on the .08 issue, be reported without recommendation at this time. We'll debate that issue in the full committee.
Chair.
Examine this constitutional case, as well as the other amendments that we have indicated for
have the amendments for ORS 482-500.
Right. I'm including in my motion on 2420 the other amendments we described we thought were appropriate in that bill. Further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Martin?
Yes.
Hill?
Yes.
Auburn?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Aye.
Myers.
Aye. Then we have $29.74, the only other bill we've not tabled. We're going to run this one.
You've got 2826.
Oh, yeah, right.
You're
going
over
the,
for a hearing.
I'm sorry.
Do you want to hear that at full committee?
Yes, let's take it to full and resolve it there. Chair would move that House Bill 2826 be reported to the full committee. And we'll set it for hearing with the amendments there and act on it there.
Martin?
Yes, that's agreeable. Further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Horton?
Yes.
Hill?
Aye.
Mumgarth?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Springer?
Is this with or without recommendation?
Without.
Without.
Aye.
Myers?
Aye. Then the only other bill was $29.74, is that right?
Yes.
Table $28.61 and $29.56?
Yes.
Chair will move that House Bill $29.74, as amended, be reported with a due pass recommendation to the full committee. Further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Horton?
Yes.
Hill?
Aye.
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye.
Myers?
Okay, the way I think I'd like to have it structured for the full committee, Linda, is we'll set $24.20 and $29.74 for work session, and $28.26 as amended with substitute bill for hearing and work session.